them nor form new ones, and until she could do that, she couldn't work as a broker.
"You'll sort it," Granny said. "I know you will."
Tacy shook her head, though a hint of a smile tugged at her lips.
"You might be the only person who is that confident in me."
"I haven't given up hope," Mercury said. "Every broker I know describes the process of locating an attachment differently. You will eventually discover the approach that works for you. It simply takes time."
"How long did it take you?"
Tacy asked. He produced a crooked smile, one filled with equal amounts feigned arrogance and earned confidence.
"I'm an exception to that rule. To most rules, really."
"And do you promise not to toss me out of my little house if it takes me more time than you're hoping?"
"Tossing people out is my favorite thing," he said solemnly. "Don't deny me that pleasure."
Again, she grinned at his pretended earnestness.
"I thought ghost croquet was your favorite pastime."
"Watching ghosts play croquet is a great deal of fun, but evicting a neighbor surpasses even that."
He pretended to be excessively put out.
"I suppose I could delay that a bit longer."
"I appreciate your forbearance," she said with a laugh.
It was all phrased like a joke, but he knew she was legitimately worried about her future.
That was understandable.
She was an unwed lady who'd run away from home and was depending on the generosity of a man she'd only known a few weeks to help her keep hidden one of the most destructive secrets a person could have.
"Baby Blue is hoping you will read him another story," Granny said to Tacy. "I assured him you wouldn't forget. Doing so is a highlight of my day."
She picked up her pace toward the house. Granny Gray remained behind with Mercury.
"Tacy was very lonely as a child. She has been lonely as an adult as well. To have a house full of ghosts who have welcomed her kindly is a greater mercy than you realize."
"I'm pleased she is happy here."
Granny eyed him sidelong. Being evaluated by a ghost always felt different than by a person. It went deeper. They seemed to see more, which he didn't overly appreciate. Mercury held more secrets than he cared to admit. Granny Gray was privy to a closely guarded one.
"Does Tacy know that you extended your invitation to her, not to save her from her mother, but to keep me here?"
Granny asked.
"The invitation was extended for both reasons," Mercury insisted.
"Not equally, though. And she doesn't even know there is a competing reason."
He glanced around as they walked on, making certain they really were alone.
"Are you trying to convince me to confess to her that her lifelong ghostly companion somehow knows that I am a now-grown runaway orphan brokering ghosts in violation of the law, and your knowledge of such things constitutes such a significant risk of losing everything I have built for myself that I am very nearly desperate to keep you, and, by extension her, very nearby?"
Granny shook her head.
"I don't expect you to spill your secrets. I'm only worried about how she'll feel when she eventually learns the truth of why you extended such generosity."
"When she learns the truth? Are you planning to tell her?"
"The truth has a way of becoming known. I suspect this truth will as well."
They weren't far from the house. Once he was surrounded by his ghosts again, he dared not discuss this precarious topic with Granny.
"Is there still nothing more you can tell me than you already have? Nothing you've neglected to share?"
"I know you have given yourself your current name, that you are hiding your origins as an orphan, and that there are other ghosts who also know things about you that could bring the life you've built crumbling down around you. That's the entirety of what I know."
"That's plenty."
Even just the fact that he had run away from an orphanage was enough to ruin him. There were laws about orphans.